is interrupted. Now, since Reverend Harrison and I began tracking these trends, after making a formal call to action from a street corner in downtown Indianapolis in the fall of 2019, we began tracking these non-fatal shootings, stabbings, other aggravated assaults, and our overall homicides beginning in November of 2019. Since that time, the past 549 days, at least 1,469 people have been shot. 454 people have been stabbed, with a total of 348 killed. That's 1,922 people shot or stabbed since we have raised this issue and begged our elected leaders to take action. Here are the latest comparative analysis that we are finding. I think this hits home with people, and it puts it into perspective for them. Like it or not, our neighbors to the north in Chicago are well known for their violence and their homicide statistics. Here's what many Indianapolis residents are not aware of. When you do the comparative analysis and you adjust for the population differences, the differences in size of total number of population for our cities, Indianapolis is outpacing Chicago as it relates to our rates of homicide per capita. I'm going to break that down for you. Currently, Indianapolis is at 93 homicides. The city of Chicago, as of this morning, was at 221 homicides. But here's the difference. Our population in Indianapolis is 876,862. The projected population for Chicago is 2,706,000 residents. That means that Chicago's population is 3.09 times greater than that of Indianapolis. Therefore, when you factor in an equivalency of per capita, you take the 3.09 times the 93 homicides, that shows an equivalency factor for Indianapolis of 287.37 homicides. This means that per capita, Indy is actually equaling 1.3 homicides for every one homicide in Chicago. That's stunning. So it appears, based on this comparative analysis, that Indy is actually 30% higher than Chicago's pace for homicides per capita thus far in 2021. Now, that's the statistics, that's the numbers, that's getting in the weeds, but here's the deal. That is what we are seeing on the front lines, in the streets, in the neighborhoods throughout our city. Worse yet, attacks on law enforcement have also been skyrocketing across our nation. And I know Reverend Harrison is just as concerned about this trend as well. Nationwide, we have just learned today that nationwide, 106 law enforcement officers have been shot and 23 have been killed by gunfire. 27 of those officers shot in our country, 27 officers were shot in 22 different ambush attacks. Why is this so relevant to us here locally? Well, it's our residents and our officers who are on the front lines. They're in the middle of all this violence, and we know all too well the violence that is also directed at our officers. We have borne the consequences of that, including the tragic death of Officer Breanne Leith just a little over a year ago here in Indianapolis in an alleged domestic violence, domestic homicide situation. Additionally, this week, we are also recognizing Police Week in our nation. Tomorrow is Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Day. And just during this Police Week, we have had four officers who have already been killed in our country just this week. So tomorrow, May 15th, is Law Enforcement Memorial Day. We just ask residents to please say a prayer for the fallen and their families. Now here's the key point, because this is what we're always asked. Hey, you guys point to the problems. What are some solutions? Have you ever offered solutions? Well, in fact, we have. In the beginning of 2020, over a year ago, nearly 18 months ago, the Indianapolis Fraternal Order of Police issued what we called 7 solutions. We placed them onto the table. And they were in regards to the broken revolving door of criminal justice in Indianapolis. However, in February of 2020, our elected leaders rejected the opportunity to discuss these solutions. They didn't review them. We didn't talk. They didn't say, hey, you're wrong. They said, we're not even going to hear it. We don't want to hear it. Yet we have continued to bleed the lives out of our community. I would point you that on February the 2nd of 2020, there was an entire full-page list of these solutions that were offered in the Indianapolis Star. They were offered by our policing professionals. We encourage you to review those. As Reverend Harrison shared, we joined together to call upon the mayor of Indianapolis to convene an emergency public safety meeting. Some will ask when. Now. We're getting ready to go into another weekend. We just came out of 22 people being shot, 3 stabbed, 9 killed in just the last week. Now, I'm careful with this, but that is more than what we experienced in the FedEx massacre. And we saw politicians trip over themselves to get in front of cameras to talk about the issue at hand. Am I right?
That's right.
Yet since then, when all the national network cameras left town, our politicians went back to remaining silent on the issues. These are our residents, our neighbors, that are losing their lives and being affected by the violence. So we call on the mayor to convene the meeting. If he doesn't do it today, let's do it tomorrow. And get our law enforcement representatives, our Fraternal Order of Police, the Marion County Prosecutor, our judges, community and anti-violence leaders, and clergy all around a table to address the record-breaking violence in our city. Indy can't wait. Now, here's the thing. Police are doing everything they can do. And I think it's safe to say that Reverend Harrison and many of our community leaders agree. We have adopted a beat policing model based on relational engagement, a model that's focused on community collaboration. We have over 1,700 officers. Let me be clear on this. Gratefully, because Mayor Hogsett has maintained his commitment to continue to hire officers. We applaud him on that. While we all recognize it's not enough, it's a step in the right direction, but we have over 1,700 officers standing the line 24 hours a day. Additionally, beginning this year, we have 130 IMPD uniformed officers and detectives, plus federal task force teams available to combat this violence. We also have the Officer Bree Leith initiative that came from her tragic death to ensure follow-on federal prosecution for domestic abusers. That's from the U.S. Attorney's Office, ATF, and CGIC, our Crime Gun Intelligence Center. And then finally, we just sustained state funding through this last legislative session for a regional crime gun intelligence task force that is staffed across geographical boundaries within central Indiana. Because our surrounding counties also hear and feel what we are saying, because they are suffering a spillover effect of the violence. We warned, and we weren't flippant about it. We warned 2 years ago that this violence, unless interrupted, is coming to a neighborhood near you. And our surrounding counties in central Indiana, unfortunately, are experiencing that right now. So again, we did put 7 solutions on the table. We'd be happy to talk about those and others that have been proposed by Reverend Harrison and others. But the simple fact remains, Indy can't wait. Violence is surging within the surge. It's to levels we've never seen before. All trends indicate we are going to break 100 homicides before the end of this month. We've never seen that. And so we've got to get a handle on this. We've got to come together, and we've got to set the egos aside to get it done. With that, I think we'll stand for any questions that you have.
Well, I think there's 2 things that we really want to talk about. One is certainly the revolving door, which is catch and release, particularly of our most violent repeat felons that are arrested by law enforcement and in a short period of time are back out on the street. That creates some issues for us on the ground in trying to address the violence for residents who are fearful, who may have information about crimes or shootings or homicides, but are too afraid to come forward because they don't believe the system is going to protect them. So people hold on to that information. I think secondly, the problem is that we have more of a top-down approach to addressing the violence that is in neighborhoods rather than a bottom-up approach, which involves neighborhood associations, community groups, faith-based groups, anti-violence groups that are helping to drive the strategy in those neighborhoods, and law enforcement and the city is in partnership with that. There are a lot of issues that are driving it today, and it's very complex and multi-layer, and that's why it's going to take the village to come together and address all of these very complex issues that is driving the violence. It's not just one thing, and that's the reason we can't have a silver bullet approach to it. It's too multi-layered and complex, and it's going to take all of us working together to address the different facets that is driving the violence in the city, at this record-breaking pace.
Yeah, I think a key component to this is really the gateway to the criminal justice system. Now listen, this is what I hope that the mayor hears. He really should not continue taking the rap for a broken system that he can't completely control. But that the gateway, the beginning of that process, as we have seen time and time again, our officers, they are arresting the bad folks. They're doing their job. They're making the arrest, and they're inputting the suspects into the system. But from that point on, the gateway of the process, our prosecutor's office, they are playing a significant role in giving sweetheart plea deals once a conviction is sustained, where there's little or no jail time or criminal sentencing. They're also agreeing to pretrial release conditions that is overutilizing a GPS monitoring system in our city. It's been no secret. Hear us on this. You've got a 40% increase in homicides last year, an all-time historic record. We just learned that we're even higher than that so far this year, a pace that's higher than that, almost 10% higher than the 40% increase last year. On top of that, we just saw we've got an 82% increase in carjackings in our city. We're seeing property crimes our residents being confronted with property crimes and quality of life issues on top of that. Aggravated assaults, 450 people shot or stabbed in 130 days. Think about that. 450 people, your neighbors, our neighbors, shot or stabbed in 130 days. And then you look at the other statistics that there is no city that has as many people on electronic monitoring as the city of Indianapolis. It has been confirmed publicly time and time again. We have at least 4,000 people on any given day on electronic monitoring systems. Those are people that are post-conviction release, that instead of being in jail or prison, decisions are being made to return them to our neighborhoods, or pretrial release, that in lieu of a cash bail bond system, they're being placed onto the electronic monitoring system, and we're seeing that time and time again, those alleged repeat convicted violent felony offenders are removing those monitors and going and committing new alleged acts of crime.